We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I wasn't just following him. I was following a system that he had the luxury of being in for 20 years.
He's a system quarterback.
Dale Arnold.
To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win. We will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
Rich Keith.
Tatum was tremendous tonight. Guys came out with no excuses. Guys all did a good job all the way down the line.
Dale and Keith with Andy Hart.
Who am I speaking to, Keith or Dale?
Neither. They're not on today. This is Andy.
Oh, God.
I can deny it no longer.
I am small.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart, WEEI.com, is in the house with us. Real quickly, before we talk about the head coaching vacancies in the NFL, just to update you a little bit on the story out of Cleveland now, for those of you just joining us, the Browns announced today that head coach Kevin Stefanski, two of his coaches, two, we don't know the names of the coaches on the staff, but two of the coaches on the staff, two players, including a very important member of the offensive line, Joel Bitonio, three-time Pro Bowler, have all tested positive for COVID-19, all have been declared out for Sunday night's playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I hadn't even thought about this until Tom Pelissero wrote this. These same two teams met last Sunday, remember? And there was a shot that you saw pregame, as is often the case, of Kevin Stefanski and Mike Tomlin standing in the middle of the football field having a long conversation during warmups. Happens all the time. You see Belichick do it all the time. I hadn't even thought about that. The NFL had to go back and contact trace Mike Tomlin and make sure he was okay to coach in Sunday's game, because Stefanski's already been told he's out of Sunday's game. Could you imagine what the Steelers would do if they found out that Stefanski, you know, not only, you know, is messing around with their playoff game Sunday, but, oh, he cost them their head coach as well?
Right, but at least it was outside, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, and that hasn't happened yet.
Because otherwise,
year.
Everybody that team played in that game, like the offensive line, the center and the tackle should be out, the nose tackle should be out because Bitonio was blocking him, the
so
NFL
do you guys
films.
It hasn't spread yet this year that way.
That's what Siller said. Not one proven case of outdoor transmission.
Let's go to the extreme example. So this is Kevin Stefanski, Joe Bitonio. Game for the Browns is going to be played Sunday regardless. Let's go fast forward to next week. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes both have it, and they could play on Tuesday. Let's say they don't have it, but they are the,
close
they
contact.
Were near somebody that was or whatever. So they could play on Tuesday, but they couldn't play on Sunday. Would the league move the game?
They can't. They can't. I know the obvious answer is yes. Like, you think they would, but I don't know how you can do that.
How could you? And what would it do to the schedule moving forward?
I'm just saying.
You move it to Tuesday.
Yep.
So now we're going to play the following week. The winners are going to play, with 5 days instead of the normal.
Yeah, they did it this year. They pick and chose
regular
which games
season,
get moved.
I sort of understand.
Yeah, but get it. The Lions game I brought up earlier, wasn't it close contacts? And if it had been delayed one day, it would have been fine. And they said, nope, not doing it.
Like, yeah, we're not.
You've kind of dug your heels
well,
in
I know,
a
but
lot
they made,
this year.
They made Denver play
with no
quarterbacks. But then we also had a couple of Tuesday night games. We had Wednesday afternoon football. Like, they moved games this year. The Steelers, it's kind of funny that now they're not doing it, but the Steelers could have been screwed for, like, the fourth time this year.
Right.
Every team they played had an
issue.
Screwed
every time, it seemed.
So I still think there's a chance. I don't think you'll see a conference championship game without Patrick Mahomes in it. And unless he has it and you're like, all right, you're going to have to sit out 2 weeks anyway, well, that's a different story. But if he's available Monday, Tuesday, but not Sunday, 100% they would move
so it. So we know the two players who tested positive, okay? We've got those names now. One thing to keep in mind, and again, Pelissero's been covering this very completely today. The five positive tests today came before people entered the facility. So anyone designated as high-risk close contacts based on exposure yesterday would be eligible to play or coach on Sunday as long as they keep testing negative. So Nick Chubb, they say, well, you know, he was a close contact.
Right.
As long as he keeps testing negative, he'd be eligible to play on Sunday. Obviously, a positive test changes that for whoever
right.
it is.
Yeah. And at least that's where I think is your out, Rich. I think the way it would be handled. Because you're saying not if he tests positive. What if he's a close contact? I don't think we'd ever find out he was a close contact. I think the list of close contacts would come in. This guy's not on the list. This paper never makes it out of this room, right?
That's like, true. Yeah.
I think that's how, if you believe.
Do you think they do
yes.
that?
Yes.
100%.
I don't.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I do.
Especially
because
a big time player.
Then, God forbid, you know, the big time player, you know, gets really sick and really bad and, you know, develops heart arrhythmia or something. He owns the National Football League.
Do you think they care about any of that?
I think they'd have to. I mean,
but I don't think they would. And I also think Mahomes would want to play. Like, right. I think the guy in question, the star in question, probably wants to play. So
yeah.
And he wouldn't necessarily know.
Safety has not been a big concern. I feel bad for the Browns. It's been almost 20 years since they've made the playoffs. They're facing their rival. They're finally back. They're all excited. Now,
it's okay.
Andy, do you think it's going to be
a hell of a story? Going to be a hell of a story, as Julian Edelman would say. It's even better. Not only are you beating the Steelers, you're beating the Steelers without your head coach on the road with COVID hanging in. It's a better story. Right up until they're down 21-0 in the first quarter.
Like, oh, all right, I'm going to go to bed.
Well, that stinks. Wish you had your head coach. Too bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good point.
So there's the situation out of Cleveland, which we'll continue to follow up until they play this weekend. But Stefanski, his two assistant coaches, and his two players have all been declared out for Sunday's game. They could test negative from now to Sunday morning. They are not allowed to participate in Sunday's game based on the fact that they've tested positive for COVID-19 today.
But I think the bigger question here is the one Keyshawn brought up. It doesn't really make any sense to me in a world where the three of us are doing a radio show, correct?
Correct.
We're not together. In a world where this exists, where everybody has learned to do their job in a different way, in a remote way.
You should be able to sort of allow him to have some impact on the game.
I think direct
find
impact.
A way.
If he wants to call plays. Now, you can have a secondary, because we all also have learned that sometimes technology fails us and, you know, connections go down, whatever. Have a secondary guy. Alex Van Pelt is ready to pick up play calling anytime he needs to. But to me, Kevin Stefanski should be in Baker Mayfield's helmet and be able to do his job. Like, where's the harm in that?
There isn't.
But my guess is the NFL will say, hey, we don't allow that. Sorry. Rules are rules. And you know, it's like
you also
saying,
didn't allow teams to travel day of and play a game, and you made the damn Patriots do it. It's a different year.
This
rules
year,
are
there's
not
been
rules.
Reasons
it's 2020/2021.
Yeah.
You've changed a lot of things.
Okay,
you should change this, too.
You've told us what you think they should do.
Yes.
Do you think they will?
Yes, I actually
I do.
Why would they not?
I think they will.
In any way fair?
I think they will. Again, the way they – we just talked about it. The way they postponed some games, didn't postpone others.
Well, they've already said Alex Van Pelt's calling plays Sunday.
Probably trying to figure this out. They're probably trying to say, all right, what can we do? Can we figure this? This is what they're saying right now. They're like all they've heard is Kevin Stefanski out. Like, all right, well, he's out. But – does he really have to be? And can we set this stuff up? Can we communicate? Because obviously this is so different than the players. The players, you're out. See ya. Sorry. Coaches, there's got to be a way to get involved there.
Right.
And
you
maybe
players
they have between now
remotely.
And Sunday to do it.
You held OTAs remotely. You've held team meetings remotely. You've proven football teams can do a lot of things remotely. Now, Bill Belichick kind of crapped all over some of it yesterday when he said he learned the value of being there in person for a lot of these things. But if they want to do it, in my opinion, they should have the opportunity to have Kevin Stefanski hooked up, however you hook it up, to get into the head of Baker Mayfield and call plays.
I'll be pleasantly surprised if they do that. Roger Goodell doesn't give a damn what your problems are. Here's our rules. You abide by them. You may be right. They may say, hey, this is a different world this year. The technological end of it would be weird.
But you know what?
They're not going to let Stefanski go to Pittsburgh.
No. They don't have to. And I think also, you know, Goodell, you might say he doesn't give a damn, but what he does want is probably a close game, and more people are watching the close game. It's better for the league if the game is competitive. Pittsburgh was already the favorite. Now you take out their head coach. Well, let's try to even this thing up a little bit. We don't want the last game of the weekend to be a blowout and people are turning it off.
Yeah, Joe Judge will be on his high horse. You didn't let the Browns, you know, fight fair.
Yes, he will be. There are six coaching openings at the moment in the National Football League. I don't think we're expecting any others, are we? Wouldn't it have happened by now, probably?
Yeah, I think that's probably the list, right? Because unless you think a playoff team loses this weekend and says, see you later.
Yeah, the one I would leave the door slightly ajar for would be the one we've talked about all year, Bruce Arians, Tom Brady's head coach. Just, he's old. It could be a retirement. It could be a quote-unquote retirement.
Yeah.
You know, if they fell on their faces and lost this weekend, it wouldn't stun me if there was a change there. So I would leave the door open for Bruce
Arians.
What
about in Chicago? Are they...
You looking for Darth Vader?
No, I have all these little mini helmets behind me. I have all the matchups behind me.
That's you forgot the teams?
I was looking at the playoff teams real quick. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Chicago, we could leave that door open just a little bit.
Yeah.
It seems as though in the NFL, when they've decided they're going to make a change, the axe swings. Now, in this year, we had the axe swing early than we normally do. Mm-hmm. But that whole, you know, Black Monday thing is a real thing in the NFL. We're it's over.
Yes.
We're going to do it. We're going to make the move now.
Right. But with the exception of playoff teams, right? Playoff teams have fired coaches before.
Didn't Tennessee can?
Yes, Mike Munchak or Mularkey.
Or Munchak.
One of them was Mularkey was a playoff team.
To bring in Vrabel, right?
Yes.
So, like, we have some examples of this where, you know, a team makes the playoffs, but you're really not going in the direction ownership wants it to go, and you've had your turn.
That one was fluky, though, because there were clearly so many issues with Mularkey, and the only reason they made it where they did was because Mariota accidentally threw himself a touchdown pass. So they, instead of just giving them the benefit of the doubt on that, they were like, "That's not you didn't do that.
Yeah, you're not a playoff team. Yeah.
See, I actually think there should be another one, but I don't know that they will. Mike McCarthy should be gone.
Oh, stinks. But they stood by... Garrett for so long.
I don't think Jerry's going to do it because that's like admitting you screwed this thing up.
But also, they have the Dak Prescott only played five games excuse.
Right.
Now, it wasn't going great with them.
Nope.
But they have that excuse that we had to play Ben DiNucci and Andy Dalton and, you know, those guys for most of the season. So, yeah, I'm with you. If I was a Cowboys fan, I wouldn't want him, but I think he's back for another year.
So there are six right now, and the question becomes, what's the most attractive job out there? And you look at a number of factors. You look at ownership. You look at you know, salary cap space. You look at roster composition. All of these teams are probably not great. They wouldn't be looking for new coaches if they were great. But how quickly can you turn things around? And I'll give credit to Mike Tannenbaum. He came up with a chart of looking at the six coaching openings and try to break it down for you, what they had available for the incoming coach. Like, for instance, let's say the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have $81 million of cap space, approximately, for the upcoming season. In the draft, they have two firsts, including the first overall, two seconds, a third, and seven more picks between 4 and 7. You have 11 draft picks. You've got a crap ton of money. You're going to pick the best quarterback that you think is the franchise quarterback, making this job very attractive. Wouldn't we all agree?
Yes.
Yeah,
other than the fact that it's Jacksonville, Florida. But
yeah, it's a joke of a franchise, but again, it, you know, and they might move to London down the road and all this other stuff. But as far as cap space, number one overall pick, number of draft picks, 100%, it's a good job.
The second most cap space available for the six coaching openings is your New York Football Jets. They've got $73 million, almost $74 million in cap space. They have two first-round picks, including the second overall pick. They've got a second-round pick, two third-round picks, five more picks between fourth and seventh. They're a more attractive opening than I gave them credit for.
I think it's a horrible job still. I think it's the worst.
Yeah.
I think it's the worst job on this list. You screwed up. You could have been higher on that list if you got the number one pick. You decided to win a couple of games. I like Justin Fields, but I think there is a drop-off from Trevor Lawrence. So you now have to figure out, do we trade Sam Darnold? And if so, what do we get in return? Is it like a Josh Rosen-like return? Can we do better than that? And so now, over the last 4 years, you're going to use two top three picks potentially on a quarterback. And the rest of their roster stinks. Like And the owner is an absolute joke.
Well, who's the owner, by the way, too? You have this little divide of
ownership. Oh, well, there is a little bit of that going on.
Woody's coming back from England or wherever the hell he was.
Ireland? He was over there somewhere,
He was over there somewhere across the pond, as they say. Like, that's my thing. Like, ownership matters. Like, Shad Khan, I don't know a ton about him, but he seems like a progressive, modern, like,
Got a lot of money.
He has a,
money is not an issue. No, but he's among the richer owners.
So, like, that's a level here where I think the Jets' ownership is a question. I think that's detrimental to that job, even if you have money to spend and all these
other
things.
I was going to say, the money hasn't always helped them, and I could see them throwing money at really bad contracts, being in a bad spot. And if you even want to take it one step further, Buffalo is good, Miami is good, and I wouldn't expect the Patriots to be bad for long. So you are the clear fourth team in that division.
Then you've got the Chargers, which the job that came open yesterday. And I said going in, before we knew about Anthony Lynn, I said Jacksonville was the best position available. And then the Chargers job came open. Now they've got
This is the best one.
Well, they've got about $30 million in cap space available, according to Mike Tannenbaum. They have a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a third, and then they've got five picks between four and seven, eight picks in the draft. But
they have Justin Herbert.
They've got Justin Herbert, who just broke all the rookie quarterback records.
Right.
So he's young. He's good.
He's cheap for a while.
Yes.
But they have they have on this list.
The team is sneaky good, in my opinion.
The
That's where I go.
Which is why Anthony Lynn is out of a job.
I think they have Pro Bowl caliber talent almost throughout the various positions of the roster. Like, this is why a year ago I argued it wasn't a dumb Tom Brady place, and then we found out later maybe there was some loose communication that he considered it, because it's a sneaky talented team. Now, the one thing I would say from Rich's perspective, you just brought up the division for the Jets and look who you're looking up at.
Yeah.
You also will be going head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs.
But I'm okay with that.
Forward.
I'm okay with that, because if you look at six division games a year, the Jets, the way things are going, could go 0-6. The Chargers, you have two really tough games against the Chiefs, but then the Broncos and the Raiders, okay. And I think they won seven games this year with the worst special teams in the history of football. We saw that firsthand when they played them.
Not even close.
If you don't even need to have good special teams, it just can't be the worst. So you clean that up a little bit, you get better defensively, which I think you will, based strictly on the return of some players. You had a lot of injuries this year. Keenan Allen's a top 10 wide receiver. Herbert, a big bright spot. You have Mike Williams. Kenneth Murray was a good draft pick this past year. You have the 13th overall pick this year. I think clear cut, especially there's so many offensive minded guys that are candidates this year, far and away the best job for me.
But the one thing I will say there, I brought up ownership with the Jets, is the Spanos family runs that a little like
a little weird.
The 70s, 80s Patriots.
Yeah.
Like, they're not exactly flush with cash, and, you know, they're a second, you know, the stepsister in their new stadium and that whole thing. So I don't feel great about the ownership like I would in some other places, because I think maybe there's some financials there, and as some guys' contracts and you're looking for them to spend cash over cap to keep people, I just wonder if financially down the road that could be an issue. But otherwise, I think that's a job where you should be going in thinking, I'm competing for the playoffs this year. We're a playoff team.
Yes.
Herbert's
oh,
in year two. I make us
team.
Better. We're talented. Yeah. Derwin James comes back. You get healthy. You should be competing for a playoff spot, especially, you know, I mentioned the division thing, but as you said, it's two games against Patrick Mahomes. Okay, I lose those. Who cares? We're now going to go to a 17-game season, so I have 15 opportunities against other teams. If I go 15-2 or take care of my business in most other games, then those two division games don't matter.
The last of the six teams that has some cap space available, it's not a lot, but they've got $10 million, almost $11 million, the Detroit Lions. They've got a first, a second, a third, two picks, fourth and fifth, none sixth and seventh rounds. You've got the Ford family, certainly flush with cash. I don't know how active she is in the operation of the football franchise. I don't sense a lot. I just think overall this is a terrible position to take.
Well, Patricia made it a bad job.
Yeah.
Patricia went in there and made it worse. They actually had a winning record under Jim Caldwell. Matt Patricia goes in there and is atrocious. This job is as appealing as whatever you feel of Matthew Stafford. If you think Stafford's the guy and can be the guy for a few years, and you just got to surround him. You obviously need to improve the defense. I mean, that's one of the amazing things. Patricia's a defensive guy, and their defense
was worse.
Absolutely atrocious. Maybe don't sign every former New England Patriot going forward. That might be a thing to do. But, no, I don't like this job, even though Matthew Stafford's a legitimate starting quarterback.
If you take this job, you have to fully expect to, like, exercise all of the Matt Patricia demons, the contracts, everything.
You have to sage. You have to sage everything.
You have to start from
the ground
up. I don't
think sage will be enough. And that's the problem. So you say Stafford, that's a good thing. Well, is he going to be the quarterback by the time I turn this all over in 2 years,
probably
3 years? Is he aging?
No, you're right. Because maybe you have to move on from him.
We mentioned it earlier. We had a long culture conversation. That's all you hear out of Detroit is that they have to tear down the culture and start over. And that's what Matthew Patricia, maybe his mom calls him that, was brought in to fix. Like, oh, we're going to fix.
I think
this is a culture where 9-7 is not good enough. We're going to have a bet. And he destroyed the culture.
This is with the Jets. These are the two worst jobs in my mind, the Jets and the Lions.
And I'll give you another one that I think's bad. And it seems counterintuitive to say this because they've got a quarterback. But the Houston Texans are $16 million over the cap. They have no first-round pick, no second-round pick, a third round, and then five picks in the fourth through seventh rounds. They've got a quarterback. They've got a great quarterback.
That's it. Yeah. Yep.
But that's it.
But I will say, if we're talking about next year, like I think the Chargers could compete for a playoff spot next year. This job doesn't measure up. But if you're talking a couple years, I think this could be a job because you have a top five quarterback for the foreseeable future.
That's it. And Dale, you said quarterback more important than coach.
Yep.
And if you go in there with a top five guy, you got to at least like that and have confidence in yourself to be a good coach and to shore up some of the other spots. Their defense isn't very good. Obviously, the Hopkins trade was atrocious. But having Deshaun Watson and him being so young still, I think to me, maybe the third best job. I would probably go Chargers, Jaguars, just because the Jags have Trevor Lawrence now and so many other picks and so much maneuverability. The Texans kind of screwed themselves. Bill O'Brien left them kind of the way Matt Patricia did, maybe worse because he kind of gutted the team of future picks and he gutted the team of their best skill position player. But having Deshaun Watson has to be pretty appealing to an incoming coach.
And the sixth and final team that we haven't mentioned yet, the Atlanta Falcons, they are over $24 million over the cap. They've got a quarterback who is probably on the back nine at this point based on how his career has gone. They're okay in the draft pick department. They've got a first, second, third, and then three more picks between fourth and seventh.
Yeah, they got number four overall. So they should get an impact guy there.
Well, they should theoretically get a quarterback.
I don't know.
That's the debate. Like, some people think they are going to be a wild card quarterback team, especially maybe like a Trey Lance where you say he's going to sit for a couple years and
figure
this out.
But, I mean, Matt Ryan still has years left in him.
Is also way more appealing than people give it credit for, because if you give yourself a year to purge yourself of the cap issues and then rebound and plan to actually make a playoff push in 2022, you're probably looking at a really good team.
And but how are you purging the cap issues?
They got to trade Julio Jones.
You have to trade Julio Jones. You might have to start preparing to move on from Matt Ryan, start acquiring young defensive talent, but you're moving in the right direction.
Right, but if you don't have a quarterback, that was my point. You have a franchise wide receiver, a franchise quarterback that you're purging. Now you got to replace those guys. I understand the financial issues, and they haven't won in all these details, but can I now find an all-pro wide receiver or an all-pro quarterback?
Calvin Ridley probably up there.
Ridley's close.
Right, but who's his quarterback?
Matt Ryan. I got Matt Ryan still.
No, but that's why the purge is one thing. If you purge yourself of the contracts, now you're replacing, and that's the weirdness of this job.
Drop Julio and grab one of the elite guys at number four.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was ranking them from best to worst, I would go Chargers, Jacksonville, probably Houston, because they've got the quarterback. And then I would probably go Atlanta, Jets, Detroit.
Yeah, I would flip the bottom two, and that would probably be my list.
The top three are the same for me. Chargers, Jags, Texans, I think, are pretty good jobs. Then I would actually go Lions, Falcons, Jets. I think the Lions, and maybe this is a little bit of a loser mentality for me, if you go to the playoff, like, you don't have to be great to be a great coach in Detroit.
Real low bar.
Like, the bar is low. Yeah. Whereas the Falcons have been a Super Bowl team. Like, they've had a lot of talent. They've had expectations. And then I have the Jets as the last job because you're in that weird world where, do you need a quarterback? Do you have a quarterback? Do you get a quarterback? The ownership sucks. The market sucks. The franchise just can't get out of their own way. Like, I would not want the Jets.
Hot
job.
Take. Unless I think the Texans' job is the worst job there is.
Because of Easterby?
Well, because of Easterby.
They got Watson, though.
Absolutely no draft picks, no cap space.
Yeah,
like,
but
the
Watson.
Only thing you have is Deshaun Watson. That is the only thing you have. And now you don't even have cap space or draft capital to help him at all.
But you just said you could purge Atlanta and then compete in 2022, but you don't think you can purge Houston
because
and compete in 2022 with Deshaun Watson, one of the five best quarterbacks
in
football?
What are you purging in Houston, though? Like, they just signed a bunch of guys last year. Like, this is these are not contracts that are expiring.
J.J. Watt could be gone. He's already sort of indicated he might want to be
gone. That's one contract.
And you have a first-round pick. Like, you can reset
your...
And you're
already paying
your
quarterback $40 million.
No, they don't have a first-round
pick. Which will be fine. You won't care. No, moving forward, I'm saying.
Oh.
In 2020, they won in 2022, right?
Keep the Brandon Cooks train going. Get a one for him. Someone will take it.
Well, he said
he's
done getting
traded. He said
he didn't really say what that means, necessarily.
Does he have say in that?
He doesn't I don't think
really
he has
so.
A no trade.
No, he doesn't.
Probably not.
Yeah, I would take Houston because the quarterback is the most important thing in probably all of sports, and they got a special one. Did you guys see that audio where he was mic'd up with Watson and J.J. Watt off the field?
Sorry, we wasted one of your years.
Yeah, like, this is a guy that I know, you know, Billy O'Brien loved him. I don't know anybody other than Tom Curran who doesn't love Deshaun Watson. Like, he is just a franchise quarterback leader. He's like Cam Newton off the field and Russell Wilson on the field.
By the way, did you see Billy O'Brien's in the running to be Nick Saban's new offensive coordinator?
Please. I've been praying so hard.
Fight.
Oh, my God. They will fight. They will turn bright red. The F-bombs. But the funny thing is, the other
guy.
Well,
it's him or Adam Gase, I heard.
And Adam Gase might be coming here. So Adam Gase, we all laugh at and think is the worst coach in history. And
these
the two guys that are vying for his services are Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, the two greatest coaches in history.
We'll take a moment and talk about one of the great draft picks at this early stage of the career in Danny Ainge's career in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart. It's time to trend.
How does Rich Keefe celebrate a Celtics win?
God. You needed a shower and a cigarette after that play,
didn't
you?
I lit up a Virginia Slims 120.
He's naked the rest of the night.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Peyton Pritchard, career high for him in both points and assists.
Yeah, I mean, he's a competitive guy. I mean, two nights ago, he didn't have any points, right? Played 16 minutes tonight against a, you know, really good team with really good guards, really good defense. He was able to find a little bit of rhythm and really play well. I think that's sometimes the rookie experience. He's had more good nights for sure than not. We're going to ask him to do a lot right now. Just in fair or unfair to him, he's going to have to be consistent for us to have a chance to be a good team.
I'll say this, and it's way too early to make these oversimplifications, but it's what we do in sports talk radio. This guy looks like a steal for Danny Ainge, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yes. It's super early, but he looks great. He looks like he fits in. And for a guy that coming in this offseason, there was really no real training camp. They had those two quick little preseason games, then they're right into it. And you're kind of wondering, all right, what to expect out of not just the Celtics rookie class, but just rookies around the league. And he's immediately looks like he belongs. And last night was one where you kind of had an idea he's going to have to play well because clearly no Kemba Walker, but also no Jeff Teague, no Marcus Smart. I was a little surprised they ended up starting Tremont Waters, the kid who was here from a year ago. They start him. He did not have a great game. But Peyton Pritchard comes in off the bench, knows he needs to score a little bit more, looks for a shot, and was great. He's good defensively. I like him a lot, and I know we always have to use the caveat, like, it's 8 games into his career. But the guy's legit. He's a part of their rotation, and even when Kemba returns, he's going to be a part of their rotation, or at least should be.
Yeah, watching him start this season, A, he looks mature. He looks like one of those reasons why you say, why'd a guy stay in college for an extended period of time? He's a mature basketball player because you watch him, and he's just – he's under control. Like, the moment, the spot, the nothing is going too fast. He seems comfortable out there. And then you get past that, and you're like, oh, wait, but he's also got some skill. Right. Like, you know, he blows by a guy, and you're like, I don't want to get into certain sneaky, fast, sneaky, quick sort of mantras, but he blows by a guy, and you're like, oh, I wasn't sure he could do that. And so there's a lot to like. I will say, you know, looks like Danny's got a good pick here. It's a little Belichickian, though. It's a little, forget about Duke Dawson early, we got J.C. Jackson late. Forget about Neesmith that he can't play and he can't shoot. And he. But look at this guy over here who we drafted later. So,
give him credit
for a good pick.
Yeah, and like Neesmith, a guy who didn't play as much in college as Pritchard.
Right.
Pritchard played 4 years at Oregon, and last year was the best player in college basketball. Now, that doesn't always translate. They tried taking a four-year guy a handful of years ago with Juwan Johnson, who was like Big Ten Player of the Year, and he sucked. He sucked immediately, never looked like he could play. Pritchard, and I remember we were on after the draft, Andy, and you laughed at me, but I thought maybe best case scenario, he could maybe even turn into the guy they faced last night in Fred VanVleet, who was another four-year player who went undrafted and then had to play in the G League and barely like scrape by with Toronto, and then next thing you know, he's making $20-plus million a year. He's a huge factor on a pretty good team. Now, I know they're off to a bad start, but last couple of years they've been good, and VanVleet's been a big part of that. Similar type of game. I think the mature guy coming into the league is doesn't maybe have the highest ceiling in the world, but is going to get the most out of what he has, and Brad can already trust him. Like, I think offensively, defensively, he's a guy you don't have to like hide or protect. Like, you know, there's a lot of players that come into the league, they might be good at one thing, and you're like, all right, let's just maximize. And that's supposed to be Neesmith. He's supposed to be the one shooter, or this guy can rebound. That's all he can do, but like, let's maximize that. Pritchard seems on ball defense. He seems to be good running the point, playing off the ball. Like, I've been impressed.
You got a little sample of my hot take. Do you remember my hot take from about a month ago?
Of course I do.
I don't.
That he was drafted in part to replace Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart could be traded. Well, last night you saw him play. Marcus Smart couldn't. And now, obviously, in the big picture, you're adding Kemba Walker to the mix, and you're adding something else in the trade that involves Marcus Smart. But this is a guy, like, even what Brad is saying about him, like, it's too bad for him, but we're going to lean on him. He's not going to have the chance to not be consistent because we need him to be. And I think some of that is maturity, right? Like that old Parcells, everybody's different and you got to treat them different and you got to know how you talk to one guy compared to another.
Different.
He's clearly quite comfortable with virtually everything Peyton Pritchard brings to the table, right? The way he can talk to him, the way he can play him, what he can put on his plate. And he had a quote today I was reading on Twitter, the opposite is true, that I think he's talking about some of the other guys, including Neesmith. You know, I don't just base everything on 14 minutes of game time. It's everything that goes into it. I see practice and pre-practice.
Yeah, right.
And I immediately thought of Jarrett Stidham, like the whole argument on Jarrett Stidham, why Bill can't play him. But Brad sees some young guys that are like young guys. And then he sees Peyton Pritchard and goes, I don't see a young guy. I see like top eight rotation guy.
And I think he saw that, too, I think with how these guys – you know, where they came out of college and like how much time they spent there, because Romeo Langford, Time Lord, Neesmith are more projects and hopefully have these really high ceilings. Whereas Grant Williams, Peyton Pritchard, now I think Pritchard will be better than Grant Williams, but my point is like those guys are like, all right, they already have a role. They already kind of know what they can do, and we just need to use that to the best of our ability. And I think I'm curious though, long term, if all their guys are healthy, Kemba's back, Marcus Smart, Jeff Teague back. That's a lot of guards. That's a lot of little guards. And I wonder, and I know the league is really small, and they'll probably get rid of the Thompson-Tice starting lineup. That's been really ineffective over the last few games. But I just hope Pritchard is able to stay in the rotation as much as possible, because he's earned it.
He will. Don't worry. When they trade Smart, he'll be fine.
I disagree with one thing you said, Andy, only to this degree. I don't like to not give credit for a later round pick who plays well. In other words, I don't want to say, this pick didn't work out. If you get a player who plays well for you, you've picked a player who plays well for you.
I agree 100%. It's a good pick. The only thing, my point is, I think they drafted Neesmith for a reason. They drafted him to be the shooter, right? Like, I think they made some very clear moves this offseason in reaction to the Eastern Conference Finals.
In the Heat especially.
Right, so Tristan Thompson, we need size and physicality. We bring in Tristan Thompson, right? You make that move. oh, we faced a team that was lighting it up from the outside that has some shooters in Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. We need a shooter just, oh, well, look what's on the board when we pick 13th overall, the best shooter in college basketball. And I'm not saying he's toast. I'm not saying he'll never be a shooter.
In the same way, it's too soon to coronate Pritchard, it's too soon to write off Neesmith as well.
Well, in the typical rah-rah shish-goomba green teamer that is me, I am all in on Pritchard. I think he's a good player.
Oh, no, I love him, but like Rich
mile?
Said.
I'm in on 8 Mile.
By the way, did you see Rabbit or something.
Well, Rabbit, too, they call him.
Did you see the font last night when he was doing his post-game Zoom session?
No.
They had his name, and then beside it, they had Eminem lyrics. I thought, you know what?
Take it.
Good for them. Play it for all you can do.
See, I think also part of it, though, too, is I give Ainge credit in this regard where, you know, if you took Pritchard at, 14, like you didn't need to, clearly. Like you're overextending, whereas Neesmith probably wouldn't have fallen to 26. So even in his mind, even if he liked one more than the other, like they played that right. They got their guys.
I don't know about that.
So I'm saying if you wanted both, let's just say that he did. If you wanted both, you couldn't. You could have only gotten Pritchard. Neesmith wouldn't have fallen 12 more picks, whereas Pritchard did.
Right, but the idea is to get the best player, right? And you risked not getting a guy that looks like is a really good player.
Yeah, but you played it right.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I want to give credit. I don't want to say, well, he lucked into that. I Scott Pioli always joked about, you know, if I knew what Tom Brady was, do you think we'd have waited until the sixth round?
Not.
But the bottom line is they did draft arguably the greatest quarterback who ever lived. They did get the 6 Super Bowl championships and the 9 AFC championships and all that. They did get that.
Well, what I'd be interested in, and I don't know if they'll ever tell you, I would be interested in the years that they've had 2 first-round picks, have they ever been burned by it? Where they were like, hey, you know, there's a guy that we think will fall here and he doesn't.
Right.
Oh, my God, we should have used our first one on him. Like, I don't know how often that happens. Ainge would, but I don't think he's going to tell you.
No. No, but the bottom line is Pritchard's good. Like he is. I get back to forget the points and anything else. Just watch him play.
He looks like an NBA player.
When he does that, like almost slow, controlled dribble around the paint or under the basket, and then they run a pick and roll, and like he doesn't appear to rush. He just gets the ball to like Jaylen Brown in the paint, and he shoots like a 7-footer, and you're like, wow, that looked really. Really easy and controlled for a young rookie. Yeah, he looks polished. And some of that is he played a lot of basketball. And, you know, we talk about Neesmith. He stopped playing as of whatever it was, basically a year ago. He hurt his foot, didn't even play like the SEC. Then you had obviously everything that went after that with COVID. So I am far more comfortable saying that Pritchard's a good player. Like he's a good, legitimate NBA player. This isn't some flash in the pan. He'll never be anything out of... Then I am saying, well, Neesmith just doesn't fit. I think there's a much better chance
that
months from now, a year from now, whatever, that Neesmith might be what they thought he was, a shooter with some other upside and different things like that. But for the here and for the now, you have to be – this is a team that needs bench scoring, right, that needs depth, that there's some questions about its depth and different things. Where would you be without Peyton Pritchard? Where would you have been last night? You're probably saying, hey, Jason, I know you got me 40. Can you get me 60? Because I might need 60 from you tonight. He's giving you that little extra window margin for error.
Coming up next, it may be time to retire the idea of parody songs. Maybe not. What else you got coming up next? Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Andy.
Dale, I'm not overly familiar with a British-American author by the name of Simon Sinek.
I wasn't either till yesterday.
He actually has a local tie. He went to Brandeis. He's now an American citizen. He went to Brandeis. He's an author, inspirational speaker in that area. But what I am familiar with is how annoying cell phones are, how they've overtaken our world, whether it's in business, whether it's in families, and they distract people. Simon Sinek had a really, really, I thought, powerful message about cell phones and how they're ruining our lives.
There's a subconscious reaction to these devices when we use them. What if I were to hold my phone while I'm talking to you? I'm not checking it, it's not buzzing, it's not beeping. Do you feel at this moment that you are the most important thing to me right now? No, you do not. Because there is a subconscious reaction we have to the device. When it is out, it makes the people around us feel that they are less important. When we show up to a meeting or a lunch, or a dinner, and we put the phone on the table, we have announced to everyone in the room that they are not that important to us.
That's the reality. It's the reality. It drives me nuts with my own family, with the kids on the phone, my wife on the phone. I hate it. I despise it.
That's very deep, Andy. Thank you.
Put the damn phone down and just be with the people that are around you. It's the modern version of, you know, the old, like, party thing where the person's kind of looking behind you to see who just walked in the door, who else might be cooler or hotter or better to talk to. That's the modern version. I got my phone here. Oh, I got to. No, I'm listening. No, yeah, I'm listening. I mean, I know I'm looking down, but I'm listening. I'm paying attention. No, you're
not. I think we should all have pagers instead.
Nothing. None of them. Get rid of all of it.
Page me.
Instant, slow motion, instant replay needs to go.
Andy, the spokesman of the boomers.
Yeah.
The get off my lawn guy.
Old man Hart. Thank you.
Oh, Dale's call. Mega Hart. Dale's on me now. Uh-oh, gotta go.
Andy doesn't like the 5G. He thinks it gives you cancer.
Yeah.
Well, it probably does. We'll find out later.
What else you got?
Rich.
Well, the best moment of 2020, I think, was without a doubt, was when Robbie Anderson, the Carolina Panthers wide receiver, was on the bench during a game, and he was asking DJ Moore what that bear was in the crowd. Well, yesterday, and they're saying goodbye to Carolina, or they're saying their post-press conferences, Robbie Anderson was asked about that moment.
Hey, Robbie, just a fun one to end on. Did you ever get the chance to meet Sir Purr?
That bear doing?
A bear?
Panther.
That's Sir Purr, bro.
Nah, I still ain't. I ain't even seen him the last couple of games. I hope he ain't catch COVID.
The best. The best was DJ Moore just straight face be like, bear? He's like, Panther. He's like, that's
Panther.
Sir Purr.
We're the Panthers. You know they play
Sir Purr. So that's what you call him, Sir Purr. You say, what's up, Sir Purr?
Like, yeah, along those lines, did you guys notice that Cam Newton tried to throw the ball to the end zone militia after one of the touchdowns the other day? But
he did. Did he make it?
No, it's so typical of his season. He couldn't connect.
It was too far.
They're holding guns. What do you want him to catch a pass to? It's tough.
They probably could have caught it had he been able to reach them. That was
probably his best receiver.
What else you got?
So Saturday, the Washington Post released an hour-long audio tape of the President of the United States calling the Secretary of State in Georgia and basically asking him to find him 11,780 votes. You just knew that people out there who were much more creative than I were going to take that audio and do something with it.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have. 11,780 votes that we need. 11,780
votes to win the election. No. Fellas, I need
11,000 votes. Give me a break, please.
No, sir.
Dead people.
No.
Phony ballots. No. The women at Manhattan screaming.
Stacey
Abrams. The internet. No
minion
machines.
We did a hand recount.
11,780 votes to win. People are so creative. I mean, first of all, I wouldn't know how to do it, but I wouldn't even think of trying to pair up.
So this is the YouTube channel Schmo Yo Ho Dale, and are one of the best parody Schmo Yo Ho, one of the best parody YouTube channels ever. They have a song called "Dead Giveaway" that is the greatest parody song ever written.
Right, that one's pretty good, podcast. Right there.
Yeah, we're doing what to what now?
Hi. Do that then.
We eating ho-hos that we're eating?
All right.
Guy, ooh, the fat guy on the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's
delicious, right?
Ring dings?
Is that a ho-ho?
Andy, we'll see you on Thursday.
Yep.
We will be back tomorrow, Rich, and Fitzy will be in the house. OMF's coming up next here on Sports Radio WEEI. See ya.